Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Patrick Mahomes, maybe at the 200-year celebration, he may have the opportunity to be out on the field.
It was quite a Super Bowl Sunday, quite the television spectacle that it always is. We had our jingoism, we had our militarism, we had Hooray for America, we had some football.
We had Patrick Mahomes announced as immortal, too, by Jim Gray, so that was nice.
That's true, there was football, and then there was some uncomfortable combination of female empowerment and exhibitionism and left people to decide where on the continuum that may have fallen.
I wasn't all that uncomfortable.
Then there was some really kick-ass football and an absolute star turn. So as we bring in Richard Deitch on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, I'll ask you, Richard, what image stuck with you the most? What is left on the retinas?
I would say Shakira's bare belly probably would be the takeaway from the Super Bowl for me.
Fair enough.
It's so stunningly perfect. The takeaway? By the way, I should say to you guys, always great to be on with you in one of my favorite cities. The way I watch these games is different, I think, than most people. And thankfully, most people are not as dumb as myself to go into this profession. So I'm really watching it to analyze the broadcast, including the pregame and all its nonsense, and certainly the broadcast in terms of, like, does Fox get the most important plays? Do they cover it as accurately and best for the audience as possible? Are the broadcasters informing me as a viewer? How is Joe Buck's sort of language? Is he economical with his call? Is Troy Aikman foreshadowing plays? Is Mike Pereira explaining things to me as a viewer so I come away more, understanding things? So that's like sort of first and foremost how I process it. But, you know, in terms of the broadcast itself, interestingly enough, like, these things usually sort of are very formulaic. You know, Fox comes up with however they want to do their 4+ hour pregame show. Each network does have a different style. Fox, as you mentioned, they really try to sort of sell patriotism, militarism, celebration of Americana above and beyond. And they are very short with their features compared to other networks. So you'll sort of see quick features like you did with the tight ends. And then the broadcast itself, when you get to the levels of the top crews, whether it's Fox or NBC or CBS, they're usually really, really good. The production team. So then a lot of the sort of how you come away with the Super Bowl is, one, was the game good or exciting? And then two, do you like these broadcasters? And on a broadcast level, I thought Buck and Aikman were really good. I thought they were on their game, and I thought they provided a really good broadcast. And all in all, I would say Fox did well. Finally, my last point, I have to say, you know, in terms of obviously, I think all of us a little bit in the business are a little bit cynical, but I find it just so amusing that, despite the politics that were in the pregame show, despite the sort of connections between politics and football, oh my God, 100 million people still watched. I mean, they were able to endure it and go. So it's all, you know, this is unfortunately the world we live in, but you can really spin anything you want. And millions of people did not walk away from the Super Bowl because, oh my God, you know, a president gave an interview, or, oh my God, you know, there was something sort of talked about that might not have fit your political orientation.
So there were three things about the actual game broadcast that I noticed, and I want to see how you thought about three of them. One was the actual score bug was different than Fox's usual broadcast. I think that looked good. I think it fit the football. There were the pictures, like the hand-drawn photos of the players that they used attached to their right. stats, which I thought was like, kind of cool, but I couldn't quite place it either. But the one that was the biggest is when Damian Williams tries to reach for the end zone. They don't immediately have the straight down the goal line camera, and I don't understand how we are where we are that camera's not instantly available to a replay review.
Yeah, all good questions. So let's take the first one. Super Bowl broadcasters almost always want to bring out a new graphics package. You know, you'll never have 100 million people watching your product. It's a really good place to debut that, especially if you want to head into the next season with it. In Fox's case, they're going to use that for the XFL. And I'm with you. I thought the score bug was cool. The animated, Patrick Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that was interesting, but I have to be honest. Like, that is very much an ode to the 20-something video gamer generation.
Yeah.
That's where that sort of idea is from. And I think television executives, you know, in their quiet mansions in Manhattan Beach will tell you that they would love to make football look as much as a video game as possible. So that's sort of an ode to that. And then the last one, I happened to talk to the producer of the broadcast, Richie Zients, after the game, outside the stadium by phone, and he said he was not disappointed with that shot. He said Fox had all the cameras they could have possibly had, and it just happened to be an angle that that they didn't get. I don't know if he was spinning me a little bit or not, but yeah, I mean, like, there, I think it is an absolute fair criticism of the broadcast to say that, on the most important shot of the game, like with all these multi-million dollar pieces of equipment that they have, how did you not get it? But, you know, he again, this is a producer who's produced many, many Super Bowls. It's a very, very quality team. I have no doubt that they painstakingly put cameras all over the place, and they think about this stuff. It really just might have been one of those fluke things where they just didn't have it. But I feel you there. I mean, the one thing on the sort of one of the most important plays of the Super Bowl, it is kind of crazy that you didn't have a definitive angle to sort of mark the play and what it was.
We've seen Patrick Mahomes selling us various products involved in some of the State Farm stuff. I think there was one with ketchup or whatever it may be.
Ketchup.
But we're going to see a whole lot more of him. He's telegenic. He is incredibly marketable, even if his voice might not be ideal, maybe for a radio kind of thing. How would you best manage this phase of superstardom? What is the right way to package him now?
Hey, it's Patrick Mahomes, and when I'm in Chicago, I go to Harold's Chicken Shack. I think I would just manage him in terms of doing whatever I can to sort of keep his freshness as appealing as it is, if that makes any sense to you guys. And I guess when you're 24, you're always fresh. But Mahomes seems very honest about his love of football, his love of the Chiefs at this point, his enjoyment in playing in a very high-octane style. And so, you know, with all these guys, I think if you have good people around you, I don't know who Patrick Mahomes' agent is. I would hope he has good people around him. And I think he's in a great advantageous position because his dad played pro ball, and I think in that sense the kids of former professional athletes always have an advantage. I would be judicious in my choices of endorsing. Patrick Mahomes essentially will have just about every major brand that wants athletes as commercial spokespeople to talk to him, so he's going to have his choice. And I think if you're Mahomes, to me, you pick like, you know, four or five blue blood kind of advertisers that are well known, that you like, that you use, and then you roll with that. He's got such a long career. I don't think you need to cash out. I think he just did the Disney World thing, and that's always smart. That's an easy, quick money play for people. But yeah, if I was advising him, I think I would just be judicious, and then I would always go for brands that are sort of quality brands, like that people in the public sort of are aware of, generally like, and go from there. I think he's in an incredible position. If he doesn't get hurt, he looks like a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, I think it's about his brand is one of fun and joy. I think as long as the products need to match up, I don't think that him doing, you know, like a financial advisor or something, or some sort of staid kind of car, like, it's got to be fun. Like, especially at this stage of his career, like a good match for him would be lively and fun things in which he can be smiling.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, maybe at this point you don't go for the erectile dysfunction pill at this point. You know,
well,
try to stay with the although, yeah, I guess, you know what, counterintuitively, maybe that is the play. But yeah, I'm with you. I think there are a lot of sort of advertisers or companies out there that sort of project fun. To me, like, again, you know, this is where you wish you sort of had Patrick Mahomes as sort of future and potential. Like, I would, if I was Patrick Mahomes, I would find a tech company, because I feel like tech is cool and tech is young. And, like, you know, whether it's like Apple or Beats by Dre, like something, you know, whatever that Alexa, you know, like whatever that is, if I was Patrick Mahomes, I might go down that road, because that feels like young and fresh and 2020-ish. And so that might be my, at least for one of his stuff, that might be where I'd go.
So, Richard, I wonder, with Jason Witten having to leave the broadcast the way he did, and the results of Jason Witten's broadcast being what they were, are networks still clamoring to give big names their first shot on big-time broadcasts like that? I'm thinking of Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, or Antonio Gates if he's into it, or, you know, maybe there's a Tom Brady spot later on down the line, or maybe because Eli's out of the league, Peyton Manning is now interested again. Is this... Are they looking to find a minor league, for lack of a better term, to get these guys some reps before throwing them onto their biggest and most important live sports broadcast?
No, I would say quite the opposite, to be honest. I think Drew Brees, Eli Manning, certainly Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, people who are household names already, people who the network does not have to introduce to the public, I think will be in massive, massive demand. Networks kind of believe, maybe there's a little hubris here, that if they give these guys enough reps and if they put them around the right people, they could produce a great broadcast. A lot of this has to do with the fact that CBS hit it out of the park with Tony Romo, and everybody's basically trying to chase that. So, no, I would say, if, for instance, let's forget about Peyton Manning for a second. Sort of always seems to be the white whale for some networks. If Drew Brees called the ESPN up tomorrow and said, I'm going to retire from the Saints, but I'm only going to do that if you guys would give me the Monday Night Football analyst job, I think ESPN wouldn't even think twice. I think they would blow Booger McFarland out of the water, and I think they would sign Drew Brees, and I think they would assign Drew Brees to sort of a team of producers and talent people at ESPN, and I think they would just work with him for a couple of months to try to get him ready for that season opening broadcast. So yeah, I honestly don't see any of that changing. Networks, I think, will always err on the side of fame versus sort of like you said, a minor league system. The interesting thing here, this is something I always advocated, is sometimes the best people at networks are literally the exact opposite. They're people who were not famous.
Yep.
Athletes. Like, I think Louis Riddick is ESPN's best NFL analyst. I think a guy like Dan Orlovsky is on his way to becoming really, really good.
Look at the work Doris Burke does.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So you're talking about three people. In Riddick's case, he played in the NFL, though you wouldn't remember him. Dan Orlovsky had a very, very short career as a quarterback. And Doris Burke obviously did not play in the NBA. She was a point guard at Providence. But you're talking about three very, very talented analysts who, you know, are not Ray Lewis or Joe Montana or famous names who sort of crashed and burned. I've had a lot of talk with television executives over the years, and it's always befuddling to me that, and I think what they will say is that, you know, their bosses, the top people at the networks, want big names because, you know, it's very easy to put them out in New York City when you do your upfronts for media advertisers to sort of say, here's Eli Manning and he's our analyst on Monday Night Football, and, you know, you get media buyers excited. But the reality is, like, those are often not even close to the best people for viewers. I always think it should be, what is the best person for a viewer? I think too often television executives are like, who is the best person I can put on a press release?
Oh, amen to that. Amen. Richard Deitch, always a pleasure. Always appreciate you taking the time. It's insightful stuff.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Great to be with you always.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.